You are listening to the INCJ podcast, Conversations about International Criminal Justice. Well, hello. Here's our next news desk item. And I'd like to introduce Chelsea Narvi, who's zooming in from Texas. So, hello, Chelsea. Would you like to start by telling us where you're based and what role you currently have?
Absolutely. Hi, John. Thank you for having me. So my name is Chelsea Narvi. I am based in Texas in the Huntsville area is where I work out of. So it's just north of Houston, which is a more well-known city. And I work at Sam Houston State University as an assistant professor right now.
Now then, what are your specific teaching responsibilities?
So currently I teach two classes. I teach corrections and I teach introduction to criminology. I am a corrections scholar, so I always teach a corrections class. Next semester, I'll also be teaching a grad class about psychopathy. That's always interesting to everyone, a psychopath class, and a corrections class as well. So I basically always have the corrections class under my belt.
Uh-huh. And do they link to your research interests and what you've done in the past?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, I am a corrections scholar. I've spent a good amount of time in prisons collecting data throughout the country in the US as well, actually. And so most of my research does center around prisons and corrections, kind of the umbrella of corrections in general. And so that definitely comes into my teaching. I always have stories to tell my students. I always have up-to-date research to give my students. They're always interested in hearing what's going on, right? I take them on a tour all the time as well. We just did a prison tour of the Huntsville unit, which is actually the oldest prison in Texas. At the beginning of the month, at the beginning of November, they always love that. We also go into the execution chamber while we do the tour. And so the students are amazed by that. So it's a great tour. It's definitely my teaching is linked very much to my research.
Okay. So have you got any hot topics at the moment that you are focused on?
So right now I am currently working on papers about prisons. As I mentioned, my research team and I in 2023, I believe it was, 2022, 2023, we traveled to about eight different states around the country in the US collecting data from prisons and jails. It was a Bureau of Justice Assistance funded project. One of the lead researchers, Dr. Danielle Rudes, was a fellow for the BJA. And so she had basically fellowship money for us to collect this data. And so we talked to hundreds of people. It's like the largest study of its kind, honestly. I think we have about 700 interviews between individuals who are incarcerated and correctional officers. So we're working on a lot of projects with that data. Two things that I'm currently working on are medical neglect in prison. So we saw a lot of that come up, as well as coping mechanisms, how people cope with their time incarcerated.
And there's a lot of incarceration in America for you to look at.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. We have 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's prison population. So there's plentiful. It's plentiful.
Okay. Now, one of the things that lots of our listeners will not know is what the campus at Sam Houston is like, because I've never been, but I understand that it's not like anywhere else to work on criminal justice issues as an academic. So perhaps tell us a bit about what it's like there.
Oh, I will. Okay. So just to give you kind of an example, my students walked to the prison when I took them on a tour. So from my building, from my campus, I can see out the window the prison, right? It's literally just right down the street. It's, I don't know, a quarter of a mile. Like it is so, so close. We're basically on the prison, like the campus and the prison basically shared the land, essentially. So it's very, very close to many of the prisons. Huntsville itself used to be a prison town. Now it's a college and a prison town. Within Huntsville specifically, there are about seven prisons. There are a ton of criminal justice agencies. And then within Sam Houston, our university, we actually have three organizations that are housed within our building. We also have the Texas Department of Criminal Justice that has offices in our building as well. And so we're constantly walking by the offices of TDCJ. We also house the Correctional Management Institute of Texas, the Law Enforcement Management Institute of Texas, and the Crime Victims Institute of Texas. So every correctional officer in the state of Texas, every law enforcement officer, so police officer in the state of Texas, comes to our campus, to our building, and does their training there. So we have these organizations housed within our building, within our department. And so that also means we have a lot of great partnerships with these institutions. Almost every single faculty member has some type of relationship and good working relationship with someone who is working in, criminal justice in general, right? Whether that be corrections, probation, parole, policing. We have very, very good working relationships, and that can be from afar. Some people work with people in Houston, with people in Dallas, but it all really starts with the fact that they're literally in our building. Like, we share the walls with them.
So you have academics, policymakers, the people who are making big decisions, and practitioners rubbing shoulders practically all the time.
All the time. And actually, CMIT, the Correctional Management Institute of Texas, also brings in very often correctional officers and administrators from around the globe. So we've had people come in from South America. We've had people come in from Europe, and they kind of just kind of give them an idea of practices, what practices are like in Texas. And so it also leads to a lot of great international relationships.
And to a certain extent, if I'm right, Sam Houston is the largest criminal justice academic site in America, and that of itself attracts interest from other countries and other institutions.
Yeah, so we have the largest undergrad student body in the country. Yeah, so we have about almost 4,000 undergrad students in our department, and we have about 40 faculty. So we're very much up there as one of the largest.
Okay. Think big, think Texas. By the way, I say that as a Yorkshireman and the largest county in England. Just saying. Now, the thing is that you're not American. So we need to look at this because you are truly an international scholar because you're a Canadian in an American university. And I happen to know in 2023 you were in France. So what I want to do is ask, what differences do you think international perspectives add to your work in Texas?
I think it adds a lot. I think that one of the big things that I always encounter in my teaching, in my research, is the first thing that comes to mind basically is just different ideologies. The way we practice corrections, and I guess I should say, the way we put our ideologies into practice in Canada versus in the US, and then also in Texas, because Texas is very unique as well, right? Texas is a more tough on crime state, right? We have the highest execution rates as well, right? There's still the death penalty in the United States, but not in every single state. And then we look at Canada, and the death penalty was abolished before I was even born. It's a non-option, right? It never was for me. And so ideologically, I think the way that we practice corrections is very, very different. And that's something that I definitely see. I see in my teaching when I talk with my students. I see in my research as well when I speak with people who are incarcerated or with correctional officers. I see in just the practices and policies. Like, for instance, in Canada, in prisons, they have safe injection sites for people who are addicted to drugs and they need to be weaned off of drugs because it's a dangerous process, right? That would be unheard of in the United States. That's just not something that would ever come about in prisons here. And so just the practices, the policies, the ideologies are very, very different. And what's interesting is when you're talking about ideologies, there's no right or wrong here. It's a matter of opinion, right? So, I mean, we can examine and use evidence to determine if some of the policies are working the way we want them to. But sometimes if your ideology is punishment, and so punishment focused, you don't care if the policy is working. You just care that there's a punishment, right? And so that's I would say that's the biggest difference that I see as an international scholar.
Okay, thank you. Is it okay to mention that you've h had a baby fairly recently?
Yes.
Lovely name, Skylar. What a great
Yes.
name. Now, what have been your priorities in returning to academic work?
So definitely adjusting to motherhood as well as, coming back to work. So I taught, so I had a baby a year ago, and it was definitely an adjustment. But I had her right before the holidays, and so I kind of was able to get some time to myself and to adjust, and that was great. Going back to work for the first little bit, I taught online, and so I would go into the office sporadically, but my main focus was teaching online, so I was still able to kind of be home and adjust and find my rhythm, find my norm. I will say going back into the classroom for the first time was amazing. I came home and I said to my husband, I said, wow, that was the first time in, I don't know, 8 or 9 months that I actually didn't think about my daughter for 45 minutes, right? Like you're teaching, you're engaging. Like the only thing I'm thinking about is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about corrections. That's all I'm thinking about. So I was like, I think that's actually the first time that for 45 minutes, nothing else about motherhood came to my brain. So it's been really, really nice to get back to work. It's been really nice to have more time to focus on my research as well. I spent so much time like writing during nap time, right? And you're like counting the minutes that she's napping and trying to get some research done. So it's definitely an adjustment, but it's been a good transition back. So the priorities have kind of just been, to answer your question, figuring out how to manage my time in this new role, basically.
Well, you seem to be doing a really good job from my point of view.
Thank
So,
you.
what's great from INCJ's point of view is that you're rejoining the group, and we're really pleased about that. Do you have any particular hopes for re-engaging with INCJ?
Just kind of continuing to network and see what everyone's been up to. I think that INCJ has been such a wonderful networking opportunity just to see what other people are working on and to meet people from around the globe as I want to continue to expand my international research and my international relationships. That's really kind of what I hope to do and to just get back in and get the ball rolling with everyone.
Well, you have been missed, and you're going to be warmly welcomed back. And Chelsea, you're also going to be asked to do lots of things. So try and fit them around Skylar's demands. And you never know, she might prove to be a podcast star. So
There you go.
that would be great, wouldn't it? So
Yes.
I think we've probably got to stop there, although we could probably talk for hours.
I know.
Thanks very much indeed. So I'm going to say goodbye to our audience from me.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, great. Cheerio.
You have been listening to the INCJ podcast, conversations about international criminal justice. To find out more, go to our website at criminaljusticenetwork.net or follow us on Twitter at INTCJ Network.